The thing I was trying to say to the American people at the Cooper Union that I want to reiterate today is that you can never change if you have no belief in the potential of your country, your community, or yourself. And that the easy path is cynicism. The easy path is to throw rocks. The better path is doing the hard work of change. The thing I liked about what happened in the Ways and Means Committee this week is, not that I agreed with every last change they made in the bill, although some of them actually made the bill better. All the fundamental principles were left intact, but we actually did something to move the ball forward, to deal with the deficit, to deal with the investment needs, to go back to the other question that Mr. Lauder asked, to deal with the need to get more real investment in the inner cities and the rural areas of the country. We are doing things. And what I tried to do all throughout the campaign, in talking about hope and talking about belief and in trying to go back to the grassroots, was to say to people, the process of change may be uneven and difficult and always controversial, but it has to be buttressed by an underlying belief that things can be made better. When the election returns in November, that I was not fully responsible for, there were two other candidates in that race, but showed a big increase in voter turnout, especially among young people. That meant to me that we were beginning to see the seeds of a change in attitude. As I said at Cooper Union, when President Kennedy occupied that office, nearly three-quarters of the American people believed that their leaders would tell them the truth and that their institutions worked and that problems could be solved. So there was a lot more elbow room there. You know, a year or 2 years could go by. People could be working on something with maybe only slightly measurable progress, but the country felt that it was moving forward. That is what we have to restore today, a sense that it can be done, and it cannot be done by the president alone, but the president has to keep saying that faith is a big part of this.
The causes of these crises,
I think the causes of them are the persistent, enduring problems unanswered, unresponded to, and the absence of a feeling that there is an overall philosophy and a coherent way of dealing with them. Yes.
Your tax package has made it through the House Ways and Means Committee. Every Republican voted against it. If that happens again in the Senate, you could be facing yet another roadblock. How have you changed your legislative strategy to see that you win over a few Republican votes this time?
Well, the budget cannot be filibustered. So in a literal sense, it could, we could pass it without any Republican votes. What I hope is that to show that by a combination of budget cuts and tax increases and the things that have been done to make this program even more attractive, we've got a lot of business people for this program now, a lot of them, that we ought to get some Republican support. But, you know, I think that's a political decision a lot of those folks are going to make. I mean, I can tell you that one member of the Ways and Means Committee told me yesterday that a Republican member said to him as they were dealing with this, said, boy, there's a lot of wonderful stuff in this bill. I didn't know all this stuff was in this bill. This is wonderful. I said, well, why don't you vote for it? He said, no, we got to be against taxes. So I think that's just, they're going to have to decide what they're going to do about that. Yes.
You talk about being competitive in the world, and that, I hope you agree, that involves NAFTA. What would be the priorities of a new ambassador to Mexico, and what is the latest in NAFTA? Do you support the fact that tougher sanctions in trade for those that violate the treaty?
I believe the treaty has to have some enforcement provisions. I have not read the last language, but it is my understanding that what the negotiators are working toward is some sort of sanctions for repeated and persistent violations of agreements that the countries involved in NAFTA make. I don't think any of us should make agreements and expect there to be no consequences to their repeated and persistent violation. But I want to say again, I believe that increased trade with Mexico and NAFTA are in the interest of the United States. The Salinas government, through the unilateral reduction of their own tariffs, has helped to take the United States, and through policies of promoted economic growth, beginning with getting control of their deficit, has taken the United States from a $6 billion trade deficit with Mexico to a $5 billion trade surplus. Mexico just surpassed Japan as our second biggest trading customer for manufactured products. So I think that it's very much in our interest to pass NAFTA, and I hope I'll be able to persuade the Congress to do it when we conclude the agreements, Mark.
That'd be the priority.
Okay, I'll take it.
Absolutely, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to go back to your Justice Department for just a second, Mr. President. Since during the campaign, you said it was a mistake and, in fact, apologized for playing golf at an all-white country club in Little Rock, shouldn't it disqualify your nominee for Associate Attorney General Webb Hubble? Is there an exception because he's a family friend? And are the local are the local civil rights leaders wrong when they say that, that his attempts to integrate the club appeared to have been a last-minute political conversion?
No, as a matter of fact, if you go back, first of all, let me. The first question is no, he should not be disqualified. Second question is, is it a last-minute conversion? The African-American who joined the club testified that Webb Hubble had been trying for years to get him to do it, and he had not agreed. That's what the record shows. Thirdly, my belief is that the overwhelming majority of African-American leaders in my state would very much like to see him confirmed. He's always had a reputation as being a strong advocate of civil rights, whether as mayor of Little Rock or Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of my state. He is a very eminent citizen with a very good background, and I think the vast majority of the civil rights leaders of my state will advocate his appointment based on his record. And I think on the facts of this, this last-minute conversion thing just doesn't hold water. Go ahead, Mara.
What does it say then, sir, that he should be a member of an all-white country club, as other members of your cabinet also are or were at when it was still all-white?
I think he should have either resigned or integrated it. And, of course, he was in the middle. He said, I tried to, for years to integrate it, and it took me too long to succeed. What I think is really the case is that some of the other people may have been blocking it. He was trying for years to do it. I know that because I used to hit on him about it for years. Go ahead, Mara.
Mr. President, I want to go back to a question that Helen asked earlier about your indecisiveness over Bosnia. I'm wondering how you think that's affected perceptions of you as a leader. There is a concern reflected in polls and in some comments from Democratic members in Congress that you are indecisive and perhaps not tough enough to tackle all the problems.
Well, I'd just like to ask you what their evidence is. When Russia came up, the United States took the lead, and we got a very satisfactory result. When I took office, I said we were going to try to do more in Bosnia. We agreed to go to the Vance Owen peace process, and two of the three parties signed on. We got enforcement of the no-fly zone. We began to engage in multinational humanitarian aid. We got much, much tougher sanctions. We got the threat of military force on the table as a possible option. Milosevic changed his position, all because this administration did more than the previous one. And every time I have consulted the Congress, they say to me in private, this is a really tough problem. I don't know what you should do, but you're the only president that ever took us into our council beforehand. Instead of telling us what you were going to do, you actually ask us our opinion. I do not believe that is a sign of weakness. And I realize it may be frustrating for all of you to deal with the ambiguity of this problem, but it is a difficult one. I have a clear policy. I have gotten more done on this than my predecessor did, and maybe one reason he didn't try to do it is because if you can't force everybody to fall in line overnight for people that have been fighting each other for centuries, you may be accused of vacillating. We are not vacillating. We have a clear, strong policy. And in terms of the other issues, who else around this town in the last dozen years has offered this much budget cutting, this much tax increases, this much deficit reduction, and a clear economic strategy that asks the wealthy to pay their fair share, gives the middle class a break, and gives massive incentives to get new investment, new jobs in the small business community and from large business as well? I think, you know, I don't understand what, on one day, people say he's trying to do too much, he's pushing too hard, he wants too much change. And then on the other day, he says, well, he's really not pushing very hard. I think we're getting good results. We've been here 3 months, we've passed a number of important bills, and I feel good about it. And I think the American people know one thing, that I'm on their side, that I'm fighting to change things, and they're finding out it's not so easy. But we are going to get a lot of change out of this Congress if we can keep our eye on the ball and stop worrying about whether we characterize each other in some way or another and keep thinking about what's good for the American people. Every day I try to get up and think about not what somebody characterizes my action as, but whether what I do will or will not help to improve the lives of most Americans. That is the only ultimate test by which any of us should be judged. Thank you very much.